KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio today with Hertzy Hertz. And we are really happy to be joined by Lori Myron Manbeck, who is the founder and CEO of Inclusivity, a company that is creating a wave of progress one T at a time. This is an open conversation. We welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at mnatheists.org, tweet us at Atheists Talk, or send us a message over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. That phone number only works while we're live, but if you're listening to the podcast, you can always tweet us, email us, or just send us a message. Hertzy, Lori, thank you for joining me on this gorgeous late summer morning that turned into a kind of a cold fall morning.
I'm okay with the fall morning. Fall is like my favorite season, so I'm just like, finally.
And I am thrilled to be here.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Awesome. Well, good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Hertzy.
I'm awake, I swear. Thank you for coming in. I'm really excited to have you. And so you are the CEO and founder of Inclusivity, which is a pun, which Maddie and I just love puns. So this is like super awesome. So can you tell us about your company?
Yes, I can. Inclusivity is a quarterly t-shirt club, and it was founded I came up with the idea in November. Before that, I was a geriatric psychologist and still do some of that work. And I came up with the idea of inclusivity because I wanted to do more to raise money for organizations that are taking care of people, to protect the earth, to make sure people's rights were respected and protected. And so I woke up one morning and said, I have to find some way to give back more than I am. And so that's how the company started. And basically, we give 100% of our profits to charities. Our shirts are made out of 100% recycled plastic and refurbished cotton, so getting bottles out of landfills and off beaches. And every quarter, we also partner with small nonprofits and raise money for them and raise awareness.
Awesome. And actually, that 100% recycled plastic and such is a big thing for me because recently at my work, we had someone come in to talk about like how recycling is also giving companies raw materials. And it was like, that was kind of one way of getting people who aren't the most environmentally sound. They're like, why do I care about the environment? It's like, well, here, you're also helping small businesses like yours.
Right.
You know?
And I just think the idea of doing something with the plastic bottles, and I will say that the shirts are incredibly comfortable. They're breathable. They're comfortable shirts to wear.
Oh, yeah. And so I guess we did the why did you start the company. So what kind of organizations do you support?
So nationally, every quarter we have three shirts designed, and two of them are designed by artists around themes of progress, inclusion, conservation. And those the profits from those shirts will go to support Planned Parenthood, Natural Resources Defense Council, Southern Poverty Law Center, Native American Rights Fund, National LGBTQ Task Force. So it's actually 10 organizations that sort of run the gamut of organizations that I would call progressive organizations that are literally fighting the fight and doing the work every day that we need them to be doing. And
awesome.
Then the other shirt is designed with a nonprofit. So this quarter we're working with House of Charities, which is a Minnesota-based, Minneapolis-based organization that works with people who are experiencing homelessness and are really their organization is set up to help people do the best they can do. So to get to whatever level they can and have better lives, have more successful lives, however that's defined. And so we're creating a shirt for them right now, and 100% of the profits from that shirt will go directly to them.
So out of morbid curiosity, how do you come up with the designs for your t-shirts?
We work with artists. So far we've had four sort of the quarterly shirts that support the national organizations. We've had four of those designed, and one of them by Ray Carone, who's a Minneapolis artist, who's also I married him this summer, so he's also
Aww,
my husband.
Oh, congratulations.
Created the shirt that I have on, which sort of just the geometric shapes. And then I just completely called him the wrong name, Takumba Akin, who is a pretty well-known African-American artist in the Twin Cities, is designed a shirt for the quarter we're in this right now. And so that's on. We also have Lucy Pereza, who's a student, and not in Minnesota, but a student, and I cannot, maybe in Chicago. Actually, I know she's in Chicago. And then last quarter, we also had Tori Jones, who is a member of the Ho-Chunk community. So she created one of our shirts last quarter. We actually have an application process online so that any artist who wants to apply can fill out an application for us.
And here I was hoping for like a gladiator battle or like where we have like two artists competing live and they have like two easels and they have to.
That's coming.
Awesome.
I was wondering, I'm scoping, I'm online stalking your website. On the back of each shirt, there's a quote. Is that something that the artist themselves comes up with for each shirt?
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted is that the artist have a voice, because I know when I'm, like, if I'm in a museum or I'm looking at someone's painting on their wall, I want to know what the artist was thinking when they were doing it. And also, one of our requirements for our artists is that they have a reason they want to work with us. So they believe in conservation, or they believe in reproductive rights, or they believe in social justice causes. And so on all the shirts, we have a quote by the artist saying, here's why I made this. Here's what this means to me.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do you have a favorite quote from an artist? I don't know if we can include your husband on that one.
You know, I have to say that I have loved all of them because they fit so well with the shirt. So the one that I'm wearing, which is my husband's, is sort of just lines drawn. And the reason he made that is that he had been working with like burlap, and he noticed that if there was a thread missing, it actually affected the whole impact of the material. And so the quote on the back for him is basically, if you pull, you know, society works if it's all together. If you pull a thread, everything falls apart.
Hilarious. So I stream of consciousness. So I worked at a fabric store,
sure,
and burlap was one of the things I hated cutting the most.
Yes.
Because to do it, you actually had stupid spoon. You actually had to pull out the thread and then cut along the line so that you would get a good cut for it. And I did not like that.
I totally understand that.
At the same time, it's a good fabric.
So I think that each of the quotes fits so beautifully with the artist's work and with them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we do, which I am really pleased with, is that we tell the artist's story on our site. We link to all their sites. And they'll be on our site. Any of our artists will be on the site forever. That we'll just leave them so that you can go through and see our past artists as well as the new ones.
Nice. Archives are good. So how do you structure the organization?
Do you mean like how it's incorporated? It's a public benefit corporation, which mm-hmm. is sort of a new, it's sort of a new type of corporation. And the idea with public benefit corporation, and the reason I went with this, is that for a corporation, one of the primary guidelines is you have to make as much money for your stockholders as you can. So that's just part of your charter. It's part of your mandate. And public benefit corporation literally says in the charter, you have to do some good. So you have to do something. And it could be donating some part of your profits. It could be we're going to volunteer for these things. It could be we make our materials out of earth-friendly material. We're careful about how we manufacture. And for me, you know, becoming a public benefit corporation, my goal is to do all of those things. So to be incredibly transparent with where our money goes, to give 100% of our profits away, to use materials that are protecting the earth, and on top of that, to partner with companies and businesses that feel the same way we do.
Awesome. Okay, so we talked earlier, and I'm an accountant, so there's this business
sure.
portion of my brain. And with 100% of your profits, do you ever keep some of that just like to help grow and such, rainy day fund, that kind of stuff?
So what 100% of the profits means is we've paid our artists when we have enough money. I have a salary. So 100% of the profits means after we've paid those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a project to grow, if we're adding a new line or something, that would be something that would come out before the profits.
Okay. I just wanted to double check because that's always something I see with 100% of the profits. And I'm always like, but what about growth. You should always have like some right. growth in the budget just to make sure. Maddie, you're shaking your head.
The heck with helping people. We need to grow.
Well, can you help more people?
What can you say? She's already giving them the shirt off her back.
I don't know. She's still wearing the shirt. You do not need to get the shirt off your back.
Okay. Thank you.
And then you guys have some stuff coming up. And I say we have about a minute and a half, so I don't know if I want to go into that just yet. But what's your favorite part about starting this company?
The people I've met. It's been incredible, the people who have entered my life because of this, because of starting the company. And I think there's just such a hopefulness with that, you know, that things, frankly, have looked kind of bad in many ways recently.
No.
I know you didn't notice, but, but every time I tell someone about the company and every time that an artist wants to get involved, and Tori said to me when I asked her to do the shirt, she said, I've been feeling so down and you're giving me some hope. You're giving me something to do that's forward looking. So I think that's pretty big.
That sounds awesome.
All right. Well, please stay with us through the break and we'll return to Atheist Talk with our guest, Lori. I'm Maddie in studio with Hertzie, and you are listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And we'll be back in 2 and 3. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with Hertzie Hertz, and we're chatting with Lori, the CEO and founder of Inclusivity, in an attempt to turn ripples into waves of change. I may have borrowed that phrase from the Inclusivity website. Anyway, before we get back to the show, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. This week, Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, discusses how the Department of Justice and how its new guidance regarding religious liberty allows exemptions for employers to freely discriminate against groups offensive to their religion. If you miss an episode live, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. If you're interested in getting involved in progressing the conversation we're having today with Lori, the phone number is 952-946-6205. After we're off air, you can email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or leave a message on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. All right, Lori, Hertzie, I'm going to turn the conversation back over to you two.
Must you? I love hearing your voice.
I do too.
So actually, what she was talking about with the American Atheists and such brings up what we were talking about earlier, or in the commercial break. You were talking about that you had some hurdles and some issues with starting up this and with talking about what organizations you wanted to partner with. If you could just go through that again.
Absolutely. The 10 organizations that I chose, it's very funny because I originally got the list from watching a John Oliver program, and he just said, if you are going to do anything, this was right end of November, and he said, if you're going to do anything, here are 10 organizations I want you to give to today. And as I was forming the company, one of the things that mattered to me is that it was really clear that we were supporting this vast array of organizations to remind us that if we work together, we can't lose this battle. We are stronger, we are bigger, and we're on the right side of history. There's no question. Freedom and equality and social justice and protecting the earth are the right things. There's, in my mind, there's no debate about that. And there are more of us. But when we're dividing off into tiny little subsections and not supporting each other's causes, that's how we can be defeated. So Inclusivity, I wanted to really say all of these causes are intimately tied together and work together. One of the causes that we support is Planned Parenthood. And the kickback I've gotten, the feedback I've gotten from several people is, if you just take that out, we'll support you. And my response is no. If you can't support Planned Parenthood, that's okay. You can do a couple things. You could literally support us by just choosing our small quarterly partner most quarters, although sometimes it will be to do with reproductive rights. So that will be a group we partner with on a small level too. But most quarters, it might be last quarter, it was an organization working with youth who were incarcerated. So you could just get that shirt if you wanted to support us, but make it clear that you didn't support Planned Parenthood. Or just don't subscribe, because Planned Parenthood is incredibly important. We know that reproductive health is intimately tied to social justice and economic justice. and abuse and the criminal justice system. And so for me, that's not negotiable because, and I feel that way about all the organizations that we have. These are incredibly important organizations supporting causes that matter and are interwoven.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to reproductive rights, one of my favorite stories is that there was a guy who was trying to figure out why crime just all of a sudden took a nosedive after a certain point. And he kept researching and kept researching, and he could not figure it out. Well, then he started going outside the box, and he realized Roe versus Wade was done. And all of a sudden, that's right. And it's like, well, yes, because now we have people who are able to control their reproductive rights, and we don't have children who are unwanted and such. And so that helps so much. You know, for example, my sister is in the Navy. It helps her a ton to have those reproductive rights because she just has my nephew. And I know that eventually she'll have another one. But until then, she doesn't have to worry.
Right. Well, and I think for women to be able to control when we have children, allows us the economic freedom to pursue our careers and to figure out what it is we want. And if we don't want to pursue a career and we want to get married and have children and stay home, that's an option too. Mm-hmm. And I think those options matter tremendously.
Oh yeah, I'm a big feminist. I'm sure our listeners are so surprised to hear that. and one thing for me is, one thing that I always find interesting is how often feminism will also stand up for rights on both sides of that, with mm-hmm. male and female rights, because it's like, because I'll hear guys go, well, what if I want to stay home? I'm like, feminism is all about if you want to stay home and be a stay-at-home dad, that's fine. Please note that if you were with me, that also means that you will be doing the laundry, cleaning the house, getting projects done. You're not just going to sit on your butt all day. My ex-husband tried to do that. It didn't work.
I understand. That seems fair.
I know. He didn't like it so much. I also know that you were talking about fundraisers, that you have some fundraisers coming up.
We do have some fundraisers coming up. So, again, every quarter, one of the things we do is partner with a small nonprofit. And in addition to talking about them and making a shirt for them, we have a fundraiser for them. So this quarter, it's House of Charity. And because I don't believe in doing anything small, we're actually having three fundraisers for them in the next 2 months because, you know, again, I'm obviously an overachiever in this. One of the fundraisers, two of them, we don't yet have the dates, but we should this next week, and we'll announce them as soon as we have the dates, but I can tell you a little bit about what they are. One, we are planning to do at Famous Dave's, and we have some musicians that we love and that volunteered at our last event.
You had me at brisket.
I know. And so we'll bring in some musicians. And we will have several hours of music. We'll have a silent auction, which I know people love. And we'll have a couple raffle items. And it'll just be a wonderful celebration to raise some money for House of Charity. And those tickets we'll have tickets ahead of time, and those will be on sale. And I'll actually let you know so you can announce it on your program, if you wouldn't mind, once we know the date.
Oh, I don't know. Twist my arm.
And then another one we're planning, which we're still working out the details, so I will just tell you a little bit, will be more of a community building. And our goal will be to have residents from House of Charity come to the event, as well as people from the community. My goal is to have a meal and then do a community building activity, which will bring more details later. But I'm really excited about that one. And that one, we also will probably have a few shops there so people can do a little holiday-esque kind of shopping if they want. We'll have... we're just trying to involve a lot of people from the community, so I'm still putting that together, but very, very exciting. And luckily, Leslie from House of Charity, who's my contact there, is fabulous, and so she's been wonderful about helping to plan things. The third event, which we have the date for, is December 16th, and it is more of a gala bash kind of thing. And with that one, what I'm excited about is that we are actually partnering with several nonprofit groups, as well as a couple other businesses, to have this event that will benefit all the nonprofits. So it's not just House of Charity. It's also, I wrote down the names because it's pretty new that we kind of are doing this, but it's places like Invent Minnesota, Hope Rides, Smile. So various charities that are all doing really good work to help protect people. And that we will have, we're going to have a little boutique shopping that's available, a really nice dinner, a dance afterwards.
Right before Christmas. So you can get all your holiday shopping done.
So it's sort of the last minute, but really cool things. Like I'm trying to get someone who does homemade soaps to come. And someone who, I'm going to be speaking to someone who does leather work. And my partner, Ray, makes these incredible cups and vases. So we'll have just those little kind of boutique shops that if you're thinking, I have a party coming up, I want to take something, here's something cool.
Perfect.
All right, well, we'll return to our discussion right after this brief commercial break. I'm Maddie here with Hertz Who Hurts and Laurie Manbreck of Inclusivity. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I am Maddie Love in studio today with Hertz Who Hurts and Laurie Myron Manbeck. Before we continue with our conversation, which will be our final segment with Laurie, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to do. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you would like to advertise in this program and help keep us on air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of people that our listeners see when they look in the mirror. That means you. In all sincerity, it is listeners like you that keeping Atheist Talk on the radio and in podcast form. This week, we'd like to extend special thanks to monthly sustaining donors Cindy, August, and Nancy. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page, or consider becoming a patron of the show by heading over to patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do this show without you, and we honestly appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website at mnatheist.org, where you can browse articles, book reviews, and the calendar of upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on around the Twin Cities and outlying suburbs. Sign up for Atheist Weekly email, find us on meetup.com, or listen to Hertzie, who's going to share a few more meeting events with you.
Yes, well, I know that the fourth Sunday, we're going to be having our public meeting, which will have what is kind of a teasing of Mr. Hector Avalero's Mr. October, since he's done it so many years. He will be talking about the Beatles and kind of the Satanic Panic. I am very interested in this. As some of you know, I am a not fan of the Satanic Panic. I study it a lot. the idea of moral panics is just absolutely fascinating, and I'm sure his work on the Beatles will be absolutely awesome. So check out that. And I do know that the solstice part of dinner will be coming up in December. Keep an ear out for more details on that, but, you know, start making sure that you've got the, I believe it's December 16th. Is we'll be doing it, which unfortunately, that's the same night as your dinner, isn't it?
I believe it is the same night as our dinner.
Well, that would be a Saturday.
That is unfortunate. Yeah, it's a
Saturday. And my mom's birthday.
There's a lot going on that day.
Isn't the solstice like a week later, though?
Yeah, because it's hard to get it like on the exact day. And this year, the humanists are hosting it, so that will be really fun. Next year, the Minnesota Atheists will be hosting it, and I'll probably be a huge wreck about this time trying to get all this stuff together.
So very quickly, for the December 16th date, we're having, as I said, we're having like a dinner and a big gala. But after the gala, we're actually having a dance, and people can buy tickets just to the dance part.
Ah.
So if you are going to the Atheist Solstice dinner— Atheist Humanist Solstice Dinner. I think a perfect after party would be to come listen to a band with us and dance with us and give money to these charities.
You know, I might just have to see about getting a group together of some of us younger peeps. Maddie,
that
would
be excellent.
I don't dance. I'm sorry.
I don't really dance either.
Can
we can just go.
We get to
wear pretty dresses.
Maybe.
So one thing that you've talked about a couple of times, Laurie, now is the idea of a subscription. And I'm really curious, how does that work and where do I sign up?
So our website is inclusivity.com. It's inclusivi-tee.com. If you don't use the dash, you won't get to us. So make sure that that's in there. And there in fact, is the pun that it's inclusivity for t-shirts. So remember that, and you'll remember the dash. And so the way the subscriptions work are basically you come online and you sign up as a subscriber. It's $36 a quarter. So every 3 months, it's $36. And for that $36 every quarter, you get a reminder to choose one of the t-shirts from that quarter.
Ooh, how many t-shirts do you usually have to choose from?
There are always 3 new t-shirts, and you can always choose one of the logo t-shirts as well. That's one of the options, but there are always 3 new t-shirts designed by artists. They're beautiful, and you know they have the quotes on the back, and you know that every quarter you get the t-shirt, and every quarter whatever profits there are go to these organizations you really support. And so on top of that, every quarter there's a t-shirt that, as I said, you know, supports this local nonprofit. And so you can every quarter also choose that. You also get discounted prices on t-shirts if you want more t-shirts. You can give it for a gift. It's a wonderful gift. And
it sounds fun.
It's worth being part of.
Yeah.
It's worth being part of.
Well, and for me, I'm sitting here, you know, we're on Atheist Talk. It's like, okay, why are we shilling for like something like this? And my thought is, because this is like really where our morals are. Mm-hmm. So often, and we talk about this on our question and answer shows, where do atheists get their morals and things like that?
From it's cheese.
From cheese and chocolate. And, you know, it's things like this. It's like, this is how we can give back. This is, we do this because we care about our communities. We do this because we care about our fellow humans. And I absolutely love your company.
Like, thank you so much.
Such a cool idea.
Well, and can I tell just a little bit about my background? So I was actually raised by 2 United Church of Christ pastors who are probably the kindest people that I know. My parents are the kind of people that if I called them and said, I have a friend, Hertzie, and she needs a place to live for 6 months, my parents would say, send her over. And they would feed you and give you a bedroom and take care of you without any questions. We were the house that if there was a storm, the hotel literally sent people to our house to spend the night because we had room. But I was also raised in the United Church of Christ, which probably you both know is a very liberal Christian church. And so I was raised to believe that I could believe what I believed. And so I actually am an atheist, but on my board are atheists, Muslims, you know, within our organization, we have people who are Jewish, we have people who are Christian, because I believe that it's okay to believe what you believe. And that the important thing, and this is what I was taught as a child, the important thing is taking care of each other and that you don't have a choice about that. That that's just human, that part of being human is caring about the people and the earth. And so for me, that's what this is all about, is it is showing that whatever we believe, we care about each other and that these are organizations we support. And so that's a big part of this for me, is I was raised in a church to believe I didn't have to believe. That's a pretty cool thing.
So that's a pretty rare church, too. A lot of them are much more fire, brimstone.
Yeah, I was incredibly, incredibly fortunate to have that experience. So I think that's true, that my experience of the church is this loving, accepting place who literally said, you can believe whatever you want and we still love you. We still want you here. We respect you.
I was going to say, I have several like documentaries that you should not watch.
I have seen a couple of them and it is disheartening.
Yeah.
It is very disheartening.
But I definitely love the idea of the idea of working together because, I mean, right now, at least in the podcasting community, I think we talked about it last week or the week before. No, 2 weeks ago, because last week we had a rerun. Because I was out of town cleaning a shed. there's been some drama with that. And one of the big questions has been, you know, what kind of inclusivity and such should you have, and where should you use your platform? And I've said it before, and I'll say it again: my platform is nice and happy, and we're not going to have bad people on there. You know, it's one of the Maddie, did you see this comment in the Facebook group?
No, I don't know.
There was a question of whether or not this group should be doing things and or should be promoting stuff. And my thing was like, you know, you guys, we're leaders, whether you like it or not.
Right.
We have a community, whether you like it or not. What you do and who you put on, even if it's for that shock value, has weight. And yeah.
Well, and that's why for me, the company is not about criticizing things that are happening. The company is about, here's what should happen. Here's the right thing. I don't want the artists to talk about what they're upset about. I want them to talk about what's good and what they're hopeful about. And I want their message to be, we can do this together, that we care and that we can do this together. And I know for my artists, I've had consistently responses like, that's why we want to do this, is that I can be angry. I can find that I can swear about this and I can be angry. But it's nice to have someone refocus me. Another thing I wanted to say about the subscriptions is if any subscriptions that are purchased between now and the end of December, we'll actually be donating a shirt. So we'll be donating a shirt first to House of Charity, and then if we get enough shirts to donate to them, we'll be donating to other organizations. Like Youth Link is an organization that works with youth who are experiencing homelessness, and I'm just becoming sort of more aware of them and plan to reach out to them. And so they would be another source that we would donate shirts to.
I have heard really good things about them.
And I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And I think there's some kind of thing they're doing with Project for Pride and Living, I think.
They have a lot of projects they're working on.
Oh, yeah. And it's like I've heard some of the stuff. And Project for Pride and Living is a charity that I absolutely adore because of how much they help people just who are not able to do things or need help with something. But yeah, it was brought to my attention about the Youth Link thing. And I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Another thing that we're doing that I just want to mention really quickly is if you are a charitable organization that sort of shares our values, or if you're even a business that shares our values, one of the things that we've decided to do is also work with those organizations to create t-shirts for them using our artists at the lowest possible prices we can give them. So our goal, particularly with the nonprofit shirts, our goal isn't to make a profit from that. Our goal is to help them be able to spread their message, maybe raise some money themselves at the lowest cost to them. So if there's anyone out there listening who's involved with a business or an organization that are looking for t-shirts, our artists are awesome. So that's one of the things we're working on now.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. I know we have couple minutes left. I'm trying to think of a question, Maddie.
Oh, I was just thinking that what you were just talking about. So if I'm a local business and I'm like, hey, or I really want to do something to help the community, but I have no idea. Like, I can come and say, look, I just want to help this. This is the community I want to help.
Yep.
Can one of your artists come up with a design? I don't have to come up with any of, I don't
absolutely
have to be artistic or anything else.
No, absolutely. We're actually working with a couple of businesses right now. Butter Bakery is going to order some shirts from us for their, and I don't know if you know Butter Bakery, but they pay a livable wage, so they don't accept tips.
What?
They're very, very social justice conscious. They're just lovely. They're in Minneapolis, and I would highly recommend them.
Do they have cookies?
They have delicious cookies and meals, and they're really great.
But we got to focus on the cookies for a moment.
The cookies are very good. They also have delicious brownies. They're going to order a series of shirts from us for sale from them. But the reason they're working with us is because they know the profits from the shirts that they buy will be donated. And so that makes them, you know, that lets them show that they really are following through on what they're saying. We're also working with Nutmeg Brewery, which is a brewery in Apple Valley or Burnsville. I think it's Apple Valley. But anyway, we're designing some shirts from them. And it's the same thing. They just said, you know, we want to work with a company. We want our t-shirts to be beautiful and special. And so our artist's design, our goal with our art is that it's not just your logo, that it's your story. So, for example, if we designed a t-shirt for...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I've got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm proud to be on air with Minnesota Atheists. I hope you've enjoyed the show. The podcast for the show will be available in just a couple of hours. Have a fantastic Sunday. Tip your bartender, milk your cow, and don't get those mixed up. But do remember to stick around for this brief commercial break for American Atheist Viewpoint.
Hello. Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, at a committee hearing in the United States Senate for the Senate Judiciary Committee, there was a hearing for oversight of the Department of Justice. And I talked about a memo that was put out by the DOJ a couple weeks ago now on the area of religious liberty and religious freedom. And this memo laid out 20 points that the administration said were of critical importance with respect to protecting religious liberty in the execution of their duties as the administrative branch and also with lawmaking, citing both the Constitution and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, among other things. So at this committee hearing, Senator Dick Durbin, who is a Democrat from Illinois, asked the Attorney General, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, asked him what the memo would do or what effect the memo would have on folks who were trying to get Social Security benefits. If an employee of the Social Security Administration could refuse to accept or process spousal benefits for a surviving same-sex couple if they had a religious belief that that same-sex marriage was immoral and that they didn't want to have any part in continuing that. And Sessions said, and I quote, "That is something I have never thought would arise, but I would have to give you a written answer to that if you don't mind," end quote. And then Durbin asked another question, and he asked, would the guidance that the Department of Justice released allow a federal contractor to refuse to provide services to LGBTQ people, including in emergencies, without risk of losing a federal contract? Now, this was a key portion of the memo saying that the government couldn't discriminate against government contractors in the awarding of contracts or in the maintenance of contracts or in the requirements of contracts. The government couldn't require that faith-based contractors violate core principles of their beliefs or set aside their right to discriminate in hiring. And so in answer to that, Jeff Sessions said, "I'm not sure that is covered by it, but I will look." Now, I don't know if Jeff Sessions just literally has never thought about the implications of the things he's written and that his department has put out, or if he's lying, because both of those are troubling. The primary critique that's come out of this memo, of this guidance, and of the people who oppose the use of religion as a get-out-of-the-law-free card has been that it can be used to justify discrimination, not just against LGBT people, but against atheists, but against even racial minorities. I mean, it is not a hypothetical situation. It is not a hypothetical belief that some religious views are that interracial couples shouldn't get married, shouldn't be allowed to get married. At the time, during the civil rights era, the notion that African Americans should be kept separate from white folks was not exclusively, but was largely rooted in religious views. And some of the folks who tried to get exemptions from these things and tried to combat the Civil Rights Act, especially as it related to public accommodations, was on religious grounds. And so this is nothing new. I mean, this is exactly what's happened over the course of, we're talking 50, 60 years here. I mean, this has been going on forever. And at the time, the Supreme Court then said the government has a compelling interest to eradicate racism. And so, no, you don't get a religious exemption from these things. And now what the government is doing is saying, and what the Trump administration is saying is, this discrimination against LGBT folks or against even other religious groups isn't important enough, so we're going to give exemptions. Another senator from Hawaii, Mazi Hirono, asked a question about exemptions from the Affordable Care Act's essential health benefits. So under the Affordable Care Act, all insurance from all employers has to cover this list of essential health benefits, and among them are access to no-cost contraception. And the issue at hand with Hobby Lobby and with the Little Sisters of the Poor is they for whatever reason, believe erroneously that certain types of birth control that prevent implantation, so hormonal birth control that prevents implantation of a fertilized egg, is akin to abortion. And some of them don't even work that way, but they believe that they do, and so we have to take their word for it, according to this memo, that it's not up for the government to decide whether or not their view is reasonable or whether their religious view is reasonable or whether it has anything to do with a burden. It can only be from the person claiming the burden. They're the only ones who can say whether or not it's a substantial burden, and we have to take their word for it, which is a complete rewriting of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act says it has to be a substantive burden on someone's sincerely held religious beliefs, and it has to be if the government is trying to do something, it has to be the least restrictive way of doing it. Now, what the Supreme Court said in the Hobby Lobby decision was that even if the government said this is the least restrictive way we could get at it, it doesn't matter. That filling out a form in the Little Sisters of the Poor case was a burden simply because the Little Sisters said it was. And so this is completely rewriting the law and rewriting what the intent of the law was. And so Hirono asked about the issue or the fact that we give exemptions, that the government has given exemptions for people who believe that contraception is immoral, but don't grant similar benefits to the essential health benefit or grant similar exemptions to the essential health benefit requirements for employers who believe only in faith healing. If you're an employer who only believes in faith healing and thinks that any other type of medical intervention is immoral and it's a burden on your religious views to provide that to your employees, there's no carve out for you. There's no exemption for you. And she also pointed out that essential health benefits require that vaccines be covered. And there is no exemption for employers who have an erroneous belief, a false belief that all vaccines contain fetal stem cell tissue. This is not, we're not making this up. This is not, she's not just picking this out of thin air. This is something that some people believe. There's no exemption for covering vaccines for an employer who thinks that vaccines cause autism. And while that's not necessarily a religious belief, it's still a sincerely held belief. And so the government's picking winners and losers here. And Section 8 of the memo says specifically, and I'm quoting the memo, or I'm quoting Hirono, who was quoting the memo. She says that Section 8 says the government cannot selectively impose regulatory burdens on some denominations but not others. And that's specifically what these regulations do, is they carve out exemptions for things that people don't like that are sort of in the mainstream. So, there's a large number of people who object to contraception, but the strength of their belief, the sincerity of their belief, isn't any stronger than the people who object to blood transfusions, who are Jehovah's Witnesses, or to folks who object to all religious or all medical treatment on the basis of faith healing. It's the same thing, but we only carve out exemptions for one. And that's a problem when it comes to the Establishment Clause. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. If you want to see more about our work or become a member of American Atheists, please visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.